You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Mining is a tough occupation. The work is dangerous and hard. It becomes even harder when workers aren't allowed to organize. This is the situation that many Colombian miners face. A combination of government and corporate interests has worked to foil union organization. As a result, pay is low and safety standards lower. And the situation may become even worse. Canada and Colombia recently signed a free trade agreement. This pact may put even more pressure on miners to produce goods at lower costs. Gary Leach is the author of People Behind Colombian Coal, Mining Multinationals and Human Rights, and he joins me by phone from Halifax. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Jane. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. How involved is Canada in Colombian mining?
It's become in the last 15 years extensively involved. As Colombia, like many Latin American countries, are rich in minerals, and over the last 15 years, increasing numbers of Canadian mining companies have began operations in the era of economic globalization, taking advantage of favorable conditions as these countries seek foreign investment. And so there's more than a dozen Canadian mining companies currently operating in Colombia in the areas of gold and coal are the two principal ones.
And then is the coal that is produced also used in Canada?
Some of it is. In the largest open-pit coal mine in the world, El Cerrejón, is in the north of Colombia. And it's owned by three multinationals, none of which are Canadian. But Nova Scotia Power and New Brunswick Power in the Maritimes both import coal from that coal mine in Colombia to generate electricity here in the Maritimes.
Now, has there been any indication at all that the free trade agreement is going to benefit Colombians?
No, there's a few sectors, naturally, that will benefit. Those that work, mainly the elites in Colombia who work with multinationals who will come into the country to take advantage of the investment conditions that will result from the free trade agreement. But the majority of Colombians are opposed to any such agreement with either the United States or Canada, because what will happen is, while there'll be a lot of jobs in Colombia, a lot of manufacturing jobs will move there, and more intense resource extraction around oil and coal, the situation in Colombia is that most of these jobs pay poverty-level wages. Colombia is the most dangerous country in the world for unionists. In fact, 75% of all unionists killed in the world in the last decade have been Colombians. And there's 42 union leaders have been assassinated already so far this year. So this is what happens when workers try and organize for better working conditions and higher wages in Colombia. Their leaders become assassinated, receive death threats, and so it's one of the most dangerous climates in the world for workers to organize, and the flip side of that is beneficial for a lot of the multinational corporations who go in there, because it guarantees continued access to cheap labor.
How will the free trade agreement affect that dangerous level of violence against unionists in Colombia?
Well, the Canadian government, the Harper government, has said that we've got side agreements on human rights in the free trade agreement that will help ensure human rights protection for Colombian workers and union leaders. However, as far as we can tell, the only protection that's in there, or so-called protection, is that multinational corporations, if they're found to be involved with repression against union leaders, will have to pay a fine into this fund that will then be used to reparate families of union leaders and this fund's supposed to be used to protect union leaders, which basically boils down to, if you kill a union leader, you pay a fine. And a lot of opposition civil society groups here in Canada and who oppose the free trade deal and in Colombia say that this just isn't enough, and that we shouldn't even be engaging in any kind of trade agreement with a country that has the worst human rights record in the hemisphere, and in which more than 95% of the cases of union leaders killed, which is over 2,500 in the last 15 years, in 95% of those cases, nobody has been charged and convicted. Until Colombia cleans up that record, we shouldn't even be negotiating, and companies paying fines just isn't enough to address that issue.
So 2,500 people have been killed and nobody has been convicted?
Well, in more than 95% of those killings, there's been no one convicted.
Do we know...
Less than 5% of the cases, there's been convictions.
Less than 5%?
Yeah.
Do we know exactly who's behind the murder of union members?
Well, most of the actual murders are committed by right-wing paramilitary groups, and who are listed as terrorist organizations by Canada and the United States. These work in close collusion with the Colombian military, and it was just revealed last year that Colombia's secret police, which is answerable to the president's office, actually, the director of that was feeding names to paramilitaries of union leaders and other people in the civil society sector, who then these names ended up, you know, either some being killed, some receiving death threats. And the collusion with the right-wing paramilitaries isn't only with the Colombian government and the military, it's also with corporations. Just last year, Chiquita Brands International, the banana company, pleaded guilty in U.S. federal court to providing $1.7 million in funding to the right-wing paramilitaries, who were a terrorist group, between 1997 and 2004. So they pleaded guilty in court that they funded this terrorist group, and they all they received from the U.S., from the federal court, the sentence was a $25 million fine. So we've got proof and evidence of multinational corporations working with terrorist groups and the Colombian government and military working with terrorist groups to repress the rights of workers to organize.
Now, when he was trade minister, David Emerson downplayed the murder of unionists, and he said that the number killed had been declining. Is he correct in that?
It has declined in the last 5 years until this year. There was 39 killed in total in 2007. We're already at 42 this year. But that is, and he's correct, and that is quite a bit lower than it was 5 years ago. But we have to keep in mind that there's far fewer unionists to assassinate, union leaders to assassinate in Colombia. 20 years ago, 15% of Colombia's workforce were unionized. It's now down to less than 5%, the lowest rate of unionization in the Americas. And so if you look at the intensity of killing, the number of union leaders killed relative to the number of the workforce that is unionized, that is actually higher than it was 10 years ago. But the overall numbers actually are lower because there's so many, basically there's not many unions and union leaders left to kill. And so many think that entering this free trade agreement with Colombia, Canada's rewarding the Colombian government and its military and the right-wing paramilitaries for their 20-year-long slaughter of Colombian unionists.
And if my calculations are correct, they're still being killed at the rate of one a week, and you can just imagine what we'd be saying in Canada if that was happening to union leaders here.
Exactly. There's more union leaders killed still every year in Colombia than in the rest of the world combined. And so when David Emerson and other members of the Harper government, you know, point to the fact that it's improving in Colombia, it doesn't take away the fact that it's still an atrocious situation. And one thing that hasn't improved under the Uribe government over the last 5 years is the impunity rate. The impunity rate has not changed. So these, you know, people are still killing with impunity in Colombia.
Now, are there other sectors of the population that are suffering from corporate mining in Colombia, not just the unions, but other sectors?
Yes, there's a lot of communities in Colombia. Because of, like, the Cerrejón mine, for example, is the world's largest open-pit coal mine. It measures about 35 kilometers long by 8 kilometers wide, a huge hole in the ground that just keeps expanding. And as it does that, it's displacing indigenous communities and Afro-Colombian communities. So many communities who who have been subsistence farming communities for generations are being forced off their land. And 100% of the coal mined at the Cerrejón is exported to the United States, Canada, and Europe. It's not even for Colombian consumption. It's not even to generate electricity for Colombians, many of whose villages are being destroyed don't even have electricity on the periphery of the mine. And this is the problem with the free trade model, and this will just be intensified, this process, as more trade barriers are lowered and the country becomes even more open to Canadian mining companies and other multinational mining companies.
Now, you're going to go on a speaking tour of Canada to build opposition to the trade deal. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're going to be hoping to achieve with that tour?
Well, I'm actually touring across Canada with a Colombian union leader, Jesus Brochero, who's a representative of the union that represents the workers in the Cerrejón mine that supplies coal to Canada. And we're traveling across Canada trying to create awareness in public events among Canadians that this is a free trade deal is not what the Colombian people want, is not beneficial to Colombians, and it's going completely against the direction that all of South America is moving in, and that is they're seeking alternative models. We see that in Bolivia, Ecuador, Venezuela, to some degree in Brazil, and it's even emerging in Colombia, despite the fact that there's still a conservative government in power. And that's the direction Colombians want to move in, and this trade deal is not what Colombians want. It's not going to benefit them. It's going to bring further misery, and it's not going to benefit Canadians. We've already seen in the NAFTA how many manufacturing jobs have left the country, particularly auto industry jobs, to places like Mexico and the NAFTA. Well, Colombia is a relatively industrial country compared to most Latin American countries. They already have automobile plants there. So what we're going to see is an intensification of the consequences of NAFTA under a free trade agreement with Colombia. We're going to see manufacturing jobs leave Canada and go to Colombia, and it won't benefit the Colombians. While they're getting the jobs, they're at poverty-level wages.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with me this morning, Gary.
Thank you for having me, Jane.
I've been speaking with Gary Leach. He's author of People Behind Colombian Coal, Mining, Multinationals, and Human Rights. He's going to be in Vancouver on December 2nd, and we'll let you know where he's going to be speaking when we get that information.